Welcome to the Dirty 20 podcast. Before we begin, we would like to acknowledge the traditional owners and custodians of the land on which we record, the Yalakut Willin peoples of the Kulin Nations. We pay our respects to elders past and present and any First Nations listeners today. Sovereignty was never ceded. This was, is, and always will be Aboriginal land. And now, on to the podcast.
Far beyond the reaches of Kel Thaeran, deep into the astral sea.
In the world of cosmic horror and wonder.
Dead gods floating through this endless void.
Even past this, in the deepest recesses of the dark, lies
home. A haven. This world of ice and water that sits suspended in this astral void, completely unlike anything you would see in Kel Thaeran.
Definitely doesn't look like your home. Home lies in the void, locked into a holding pattern that it has been repeating for thousands and thousands of years.
Beneath the waters of this world lies the cities.
Metal cities.
The curves and sweeping arcs of this architecture is breathtaking. It's simple, but it's majestic. It's the very least you could do to take the breath away.
And it is bustling. A sort of hive of people going about their days. And if you looked a little closer, they are all working.
Let's look at the people themselves. They're Vidalcan. This is home to the Vidalcan.
You can see them shooting from one way to the next in these pneumatic tube-like structures, going to work, going to meet with others. There are gigantic whale-like beasts with Vidalcan inside them, almost like buses. The buildings almost seem alive in their own way. Lights like electrophoresis, like synaptic jolts of information moving throughout the city.
It's beautiful.
The architecture waves and ripples with the water.
It's perfection.
There are many dark spots, many murky corners, and in one of these murky corners lies a smaller building.
It's squat. Nothing unusual about it.
Kind of looks like a clamshell.
And in this building, there is light from just one corner.
There's no one here except for two people. Everyone else is gone home.
We see two tall, Vidalcan at all, women. One has her hands in the air, as a surgeon would. The other is hastily preparing surgical equipment, bone saws, scalpels.
Can you pass me the knife, please?
One of them, Ossia, passes a knife to Dr. Rizzi. As she does so, she moves over to the slab and wheels in the patient, the cadaver, and puts it onto the slab.
Okay, I'm going to make an incision in the top left part.
All right, Dr. Rizzi. According to our notes, we've already explored these particular parts of the brain, so the only explanations could lie in the left hemisphere.
Both Rizzi and Ossia are going to make medicine checks.
10.
12.
The incision that Dr. Rizzi makes is quick, and Dr. Ossia comes in to insert the electrodes. The screen flashes up, and much to Dr. Ossia's, well, she's not surprised by this, there's nothing of interest.
All right, Dr. Rizzi, we can cross out that particular temporal lobe. Let's just move the electrodes over.
I swear to God, there was something here.
Well, there is nothing, but that's fine because there has been nothing, no matter how far we've been looking. Anyway, moving the electrodes.
With frustration, Rizzi assists Ossia in removing the electrodes and slams down her knife.
The brain they're working on belongs to another Vidalcan. Vidalcan brains are strange, puts it lightly. Still, on this very dead Vidalcan, glowing blue organ in this brain. In this one, it is sort of darkened.
There is something here. Dr. Rizzi is right. There's something wrong with this Vidalcan. And the best way to explain what is wrong with this Vidalkin is to explain to you how Dr. Rizzi and Dr. Ossia are communicating. Remember, they're underwater.
Their mouths are not moving.
They're not using words.
They're speaking to each other with the power of their minds. For Vidalkin are connected together in a completely naturally occurring phenomenon known as the Argent.
The Argent connects all Vidalkin minds, and they exist in this kind of gestalt consciousness. When Dr. Ossia and Dr. Rizzi are communicating, they are doing it through thought, through feeling, through emotion, through images.
And through the ripples of the water in which they stand.
This Vidalkin that they are operating on
is dead.
Very dead.
And the part of their brain that would usually receive the Argent expanse,
this blue organ,
it's very dull.
This Vidalkin is what has been termed discordant.
They are disconnected from the Argent.
And no one really knows why.
Dr. Ossia, watching Rizzi replace the electrodes, looks at the charts again.
Make an insight check.
I got a nat one.
So there's seriously nothing here.
It is also late. No one else is here. They have been here for hours. This isn't the first discordant Vidalkin they've seen today. Not even the 10th.
They have been working tirelessly for weeks on end.
Well, Dr. Rizzi, we have replaced the electrodes into another temporal lobe. Do you see any change in activity?
No, Rizzi does not.
Do you want to go get a drink?
I would love one. Let's sew up Jane Doe, shall we?
Okay.
Rizzi reaches down and picks up a suture and thread. As she pulls the folds of the Vidalkin skin together over this cold, strange brain, the suture punches the skin and Rizzi sets to work sewing the head up.
Suddenly it happens again. She grits her teeth. She tries to stay focused, but slowly the world around her falls silent.
She blinks once or twice and tries to regain her composure. This has been happening far too often and she's getting worried.
It's scary. It's scary. Imagine being constantly filled with the thoughts and emotions of hundreds, thousands of people, and then for it all to suddenly go quiet.
And be replaced by, you wouldn't call it a voice, but
a presence.
That for her is alien.
A couple more stitches, she says to herself. One, two, three. She drops the thread and needle as fast as she can, and slowly the sounds return.
Does Ossia notice this?
That is a dirty 20.
Ossia definitely notices this. Ossia has noticed this before, and it always seems to happen when Rizzi starts stitching up a body.
You know, I can do that if you'd rather.
No, it's fine. Why do you say that? It's fine. I've done it. It's fine.
All right. It's just, you know, if anything is happening, it's probably better for our practice if you were up front with us.
Rizzi tries to quiet her mind, stares at Ossia, but thanks to the Argent, Ossia receives a series of flickering images of icy water, of fire.
Right. Well, I think your drink is on me this evening, Dr. Rizzi. It would appear that we need one.
Rizzi can see can feel the uncertainty in Ossia's mind and decides to hide it with a kiss.
I told you that while we're at work, we try to keep a lid on things.
Yes, you're right. Sorry, I'm just...
Yes, it's just...
Stress.
If Yulev walks in here, she's already trying to bite my ass off.
I know.
About everything. Do you know the other day, she got angry at me because I was walking too fast down the corridor.
You're joking.
Too fast. She said that she said that she could hear my heel blows from downstairs.
That's
and it was distracting her from her work.
Ridiculous. Are we clocked off? Are we officially clocked off? Because
You know that we have to go to the fish and chippery.
Do we?
We do. The fact we can hear in their brains
know,
how much they
I
need
know.
Customers there.
I know. Okay.
Ossia and Rizzy are out of their scrubs and in their sort of more casual clothes.
High-necked collars, long sweeping coats, sleek and fish-like but elegant and somewhat impractical.
You can imagine something between The Little Mermaid and Gotham City.
And Rizzy and Ossia are surgeons. Surgeons in home are artists. They are considered avant-garde, sceney, kind of cool. Very cool.
Very cool.
As they make their way down the streets of home, with Rizzy holding tight to Ossia's elbow, but Ossia holding her a little bit lighter.
You can hear the thrum of people going about their days, their evenings, everywhere. If you were to look over at a group of one people, they could be 50 metres away from you, but you would know exactly what they were talking about, exactly what they were thinking and feeling at any one point. It sounds overwhelming, but for these people, it's just part of being alive.
It's part of being home.
The rush of thoughts kind of filters away until you can hear the sounds of a pair of owners in the fish and chippery begging, just begging for their coin drawer to open.
I know you can hear me out there. I know you can hear me.
Please come to our shop.
Please come. Please come in. We make really good fish.
It's been 20 years. It's been 20 years.
Rizzy, Ossia, I can see you out there. I can feel you out there. Come on, inside you come.
I think I can see us. Do we have to go in now?
You know that. You've been coming in here.
Okay, right. We're coming.
If you don't come here, I'm going
to...
Great.
Oh, well, welcome everyone. Oh, lovely to have you here. You're the first customers tonight.
Oh.
Take a seat anywhere you like.
Thanks for tonight. Well,
appreciate it.
Is there any spaces that are reserved, or
don't fuck around with me, right?
Oh, right. Sit by the window.
Sit wherever you like.
Chip's End is a. It's like a cyberpunky sort of version of the daggiest fish and chip shop you've ever seen.
It was supposed to be a kind of themed restaurant in a way, with sort of I guess how there's like guinea pig cafes or like that kind of thing. The theme is just chips.
And they could have done a play on words. They could have done chips as in computer chips. But no, it's potatoes.
It's sea potatoes.
In framed pictures on the walls, wedges, French fries, except Vidalkin.
Which is weird because of all
nachos,
the things, pretty much everything is alien in home. Sea cucumbers, alien space sea, not cucumbers, sea potatoes, look exactly the same as your regular old potatoes.
Just spuds.
It's the one similarity that this world has with ours.
The owners already know exactly what it is they're going to order because that's how things work down here. Rizzy and Ossia take a seat and the meal comes out disturbingly quickly.
A plate of lukewarm mash.
Christ.
As Harkin, the owner, plonks down two shots of vodka.
There you go.
And a plate of chips and soggy mash.
Just the way you like it.
Rizzy and Ossia turn towards each other. Thank you for your work today. I really appreciate it.
We are outside of work. It's fine for us to be a little bit more casual.
Rizzy shifts her toe to touch Ossia's. It's shy, it's awkward, but it's sweet.
Ossia looks over her lukewarm mash and shakes her head. You know, if Yulev doesn't at least give me an okay about the hours of work we've done this evening, I don't know if I can care enough about this discordant to keep studying this.
Speaking of Yulev, this conversation is cut short with both of their brains being... I mean, it's quite nice for most other people, but with Yulev, it's... their brains are invaded.
When Yulev wants to have a conversation with someone, she's going to have a conversation with someone, whether you like it or not.
It starts with, surgical room was adequately cleaned. Thank you. I would like to see both of you as soon as possible. There is much we need to discuss.
Ossia winces. Well, I can ask for a takeaway container if you like.
I think that's all right.
Ossia looks at the mash and takes the shot of vodka in one.
Rizzy follows, takes a single chip, and they get up to go.
They step out of Chip's End, much to the owner's disappointment, and they begin to move down the streets of this city.
Now, we did lie to you a little bit before when we said everything was perfect, because it's not.
No, it's not.
That discordant person we were talking about is not alone. There's quite a lot of them now, and they are growing in number at an alarming rate.
And no one knows why.
If you take the time to peer down some of the darker alleyways or the shadier corners of this city, you can see these discordants. They crowd together, and it's strange to look at them because when you do, there's nothing there. It's like looking at a table or a chair or an object.
There's no feeling. There's no connection. There's no introduction. There's nothing.
As Ossia and Rizzi make their way away from Ship's End, they start to circumvent some of these shadier, murkier parts of town. They stumble upon people, which is not something that usually happens to them. Unable to hear them in their minds, they can just see these dark shadows curling at the end of alleyways and hope that the discordant leave them alone as they go to meet Yulev.
But of course, they're not going to. They're not going to be left alone by the discordant. That would be boring.
As they turn a corner, their way is blocked. There are four discordant, half squatting, half sitting in front of the path that they are taking, looking very much like outcasts.
Ossia takes a step in front of Rizzi. Give me a moment. This should be nothing that a quick conversation can't fix. Hello. We are just making our way. Sorry to impose. Won't be a moment. Just gonna scooch through here.
Conversation is difficult with discordant because they are unable to communicate with their mind. So the way that Ossia is speaking to this group of people is through sign language. The Dao can have signs and gestures that communicate words and ideas.
Ossia steps through relatively easily. One of the discordant, a young girl, is staring at Rizzi.
I'm just going to slip past, sorry.
A hand
sorry.
Shoots out and grabs her wrist.
There is visible shock that shudders through Rizzi's body.
Images flash before her mind. A different place. A different feeling upon the skin.
The feeling of sewing and sewing. Knots, thread, for as far as the eye can see.
Some kind of craft made out of wood floating on top of the waves.
Feelings that she has no idea how to describe, that we would describe as dry.
Heat. Hot. What is that burning thing in the sky?
Heat. This heat. This heat.
It's so hot.
And suddenly it stops, and she finds Ossia's hand on her wrist. She's pulled Rizzi behind her and is standing in front of the discordant girl. Now, I don't want there to be any kind of fuss.
She signs.
But if it's a fuss you want, I'm happy to oblige.
Ossia's going to make an intimidation check.
11.
The girl looks up at Ossia and doesn't react.
One of the other discordant stands by the girl and signs, "You think we are lost, but it is you."
Let's get out of here.
A lovely sentiment, I'm sure. Ossia sweeps around on her heel and drags Rizzi after her.
Sometime later, in the center of home, Rizzi and Ossia are waiting in a very flashy waiting room.
Do love how Yulev just reserves the best offices for herself. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, you're right. I've never seen a dingy office in Yulev's possession.
No, it's always... I mean, who gets the office that only has one cabinet that you have to open by kicking it? It's me, isn't it? No, of course.
Well,
that's
of course,
fine.
Yes.
Yulev has these offices as a representation of her status. She is one of the listeners, Vidalkin, who commune personally and directly with the Argent Expanse. Because it is not just the thing that connects all Vidalkin together, it itself has a sentience.
It'd be remiss of us to try to describe the Argent Expanse, but it lives and it breathes.
And it needs to be spoken to occasionally. It needs to be kept in check, to put it bluntly.
And the listeners do this with a machine. It's called the Chronolectica.
It's an ancient machine, really. I don't think anyone really remembers how it got there or who even made it. But if you imagine this large metal sphere, its surface rippling like the waves of the ocean, connected to all kinds of tubes and electrical cables.
It's a bitch to manage.
It's a bitch to manage, and it takes a bitch to manage it.
The sound of sharp heel clacks echo down the corridor, and we rise up to see Yulev.
She is pretty splendid looking in like a shard of glass kind of way. Like everything about her is sharp, even her face. Yulev is
old.
Old, yeah. She's very old. She's kind of ancient even. She's hundreds of years old, and that is something that only listeners achieve.
Out of respect, Ossia and Rizzi attempt to quiet their minds, and they take a deep bow.
Thank you for seeing me on such short notice. If you will come with me into my office.
Ossia glances over to Rizzi only once before acquiescing.
As they sweep away, Rizzi squeezes Ossia's hand.
It is such an office. It is just gorgeous. And they have the uncomfortable feeling of a blocking in their connection to the outside world. Not completely. Yulev has control over the Argent, unlike other Vidalcan, and she can make this as private as Vidalcan can make it.
It allows her to create a kind of bubble around this office that looks like it was carved out of ice. Yulev sits at the desk and motions for Rizzi and Ossia to take a seat.
I would like a full report of any findings.
Rizzi takes out the folder. You can find it all here, Yulev.
There's nothing of any marked interest, nothing that Yulev didn't already know, and that, well, Rizzi's going to make an insight check.
Ossia can too.
24.
Dirty 20.
Having worked with Yulev for some time, it's pretty obvious when she's feeling distressed. But emphasis on having worked with her for some time. She's very severe. She keeps things very close to her chest most of the time. But there's a certain desperation that is rising in Yulev. She was really hoping that there was going to be some new information here.
I'm going to be realistic with the two of you. The situation is developing at a rate that is becoming increasingly more difficult to measure.
Well, Rizzi and I, we mightn't have found anything in the most recent autopsy, but we do have between the pair of us a few theories. For example, I was thinking perhaps that discordance may arise from having sort of antisocial thoughts and feelings, and they kind of peak to a point where you kind of make yourself break from the Argent expanse. I mean, is it a coincidence that a lot of the discordant are kind of
leaning into it, you could say?
A little bit.
And you have evidence to support this theory?
Forgive
me, I am not looking for theories, I am looking for facts. We can all sit around and ponder what might be the case, but what we need is answers.
Well, unfortunately, Yulev, we don't have answers, but perhaps there was exposure to an outside element?
Yulev, Rizzi, and Ossia all feel a twinge in the part of their brain that registers the Argent expanse. It seems to blossom out, like much like a sound wave or a shock wave, blossoming out from the Chronolectica. Something's wrong.
The bubble breaks. Yulev is no longer really registering that Rizzi and Ossia are here. She moves quickly to the Chronolectica. It is very near the office. It is kind of in the central pillar of this structure. And it's not just her that gets there. Listeners are popping up from everywhere.
As Rizzi and Ossia stand in the office, they can see down into the streets through one of the windows. Lots of Vidalcan on the street are looking up directly at them. They felt that too. What's going on? What's happening in there? There's something really strange.
It twinges again.
The sound, it's like a bubbling. It's a something that can be heard underwater, which is interesting. And they turn and they see one Vidalcan, a clerk of this building, on her knees, screaming.
Ossia holds on to Rizzi's hand, and for the first time, her grip is firm. It's okay. It's okay. I'm sure this is all perfectly normal. Yulev, is there a protocol we should be following at the moment? Is there any kind of procedures
around... Quieten your mind. Her entire energy, they can feel it, is on the Chronolectica, trying to understand what might be happening. Another Vidalcan hits the floor and begins to scream. Ossia and Rizzi begin noticing that they can't feel those Vidalcan.
Yulev is tense and livid and so scared.
She's really, really scared.
Suddenly the Chronolectica starts to hum to life. Colours that have never been seen before start to flash over it.
That doesn't make any sense at all, because the Chronolectica has remained dormant for so long and now suddenly it's waking up. Why would it be doing that?
Yulev, is this under control of any of the listeners?
What's going on?
There is a strange and speedy conversation happening between the listeners in a form that is just faster. The information that they are receiving and distributing to each other is happening at such an alarming rate that for Rizzi and Ossia it is just gibberish. The Chronolectica begins morphing from sphere into an amalgam.
Parts of it begin to almost slough off. The colours start to flash over in wilder and wilder cycles. The bubbling is now not only coming from the mouths of people screaming underwater, but from the Chronolectica itself.
More and more pieces of this machine, they fall away. It looks like it's cracking open, and is there something, someone sitting inside it? What is going on?
As it pulses and cracks, the light burns itself into Vizzy's retinas, and she shuts her eyes and she squeezes them tight and she sees a slashing across her vision.
There is silence. A moment ago it was screams and desperate thoughts and emotions, but now suddenly it's gone very, very quiet.
Rizzy's hand goes limp.
Ossia's no longer holding Rizzy's hand.
There is a nakedness unlike anything she's felt before when, for the first time, her skin is dry.
The lungs fill with air.
Her mind is quiet.
And the water rushes out of her ears.
For the first time, she hears. But before any of that, the dryness of her skin, the silence in her mind, the sounds in her ears, before she can piece that together, before she can open her eyes again, she's gone.
Or the world's gone and she's still there. It's impossible to know, but it almost just feels like a jump.
Like a skip.
Like a little hop.
Ossia?
Thank you for listening to Rizzi's backstory episode.
Yes! Sexy, sexy. What? I was holding it back the whole time. Right. I was holding it in the whole time.
Isha has just been insatiable today.
An absolute gremlin.
Just a menace.
There's been
in the menace.
That's exactly. Me.
We got one of us back. We got Jess back.
Yeah, we're slowly coming back, folks.
We one found them time. Wandering around the west.
Yeah, that's
just,
what it is.
Just being like, can you
We
can
were
you
wandering around with our butterfly nets and yeah. We caught one. And so we will head out and maybe catch another next episode.
Yeah. Next time we'll have one more. And then after that,
maybe
everyone.
Maybe everyone.
I really don't think we can make that kind of claim.
Yeah, we can't make any promises at this point.
Yeah, you'll meet all the party will be back.
Yeah.
They'll be back.
No doubt.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you so much for listening.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode.
And if you're not following our Instagram yet, please follow us at Dirty20Podcast.
Do. And give us a rate and a review. That is so janky. Give us a rate and a review. On iTunes, Spotify, wherever you're listening, it really, really helps us out.
Incredibly.
like your new favorite award-winning podcast. That's,
how long are we going to be able to pull that
I'm
card
going to
it's...
pull it as hard as I can.
Hey, and now like no one can be like, what are you listening to? He's like, I'm listening to an award-winning podcast. We're high art now.
Yeah, we are.
we've made
we'll
it.
We'll see you next week.
See you next week. Thank you to... Quickly, before we go, we've forgotten how to do this. We did this last episode as well, because it's been so long, we've forgotten how to do our thank yous. Yeah. Thank you to Tabletop Audio for their wonderful audio work. You can check them out at tabletopaudio.com. They're fantastic.
And thank you to... I know it's been a while, but thank you to our lovely artists, which I actually don't know... At Ninja Drinking Tea and at Lauren Elise Art.
Yes.
And yeah, you know, thank you to everyone else who's been involved in the process. It's fantastic to be back. And if you like underwater sort of neo-noir sci-fi cityscapes, then you should tell your friends.
You should tell all of your friends that you're connected to a stout consciousness.
Oh, that they do, because they can peer into your mind and they can see.